So, Karina, can you tell us what the Moon to Mars Space Weather Analysis Office does?
Yes. So the Moon to Mars Space Weather Analysis Office is a team of roughly 10 people right now. Most of them are analysts. And what we do is we look at the sun and imagery from the Solar Dynamics Observatory, this stereo spacecraft, GOES imagery, to see what eruptions are happening on the sun. And then if there's a coronal mass ejection or a CME, we will measure it, see how wide it is, how fast it is, what direction it's going, and populate that into an online database that researchers can look at. And also we'll end up putting a model of this. We'll add the CME parameters into what's called the WSA NLIL model, but basically just a background solar wind model of what our solar system looks like. And we'll put the CME parameters into that, and then we'll get details on where that CME may arrive, what impacts it may have. So if it's going to impact Earth, if it's going to impact Parker Solar Probe, Solar Orbiter, OSIRIS, MAVEN, any of those missions, Juno, there's so many missions that it could possibly impact. And we let those teams know, hey, you're going to be expecting an impact from a CME on this day at this time, plus or minus 7 hours. And then this is the details of the CME. Is it fast? Is it slow? Is it wide? Is it narrow? Do we think it's associated with a flare or anything? All of those details will be provided to them. And then additionally, what we do is we provide support to NASA Johnson Space Radiation Analysis Group. So anything related to solar energetic particles, we provide them a novel capability of detailed information related to the CMEs and any possible flare that may give impacts to the ISS, and then we also supported them 24/7 during Artemis 1 and plan to also support them 24/7 during Artemis 2. And then we also collaborate with NASA's CCMC, so the Community Coordinated Modeling Center, to validate these models. So that includes the solar energetic particle models. We're starting to look at flare modeling. So we look at all of these things and kind of give them details on what is working, what's not working, to kind of be like a test bed of something that would hopefully be transitioned to an operational agency such as NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center.
Wow, so M2M is the first line of defense or the heads up to any mission that NASA is running.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, yes. So we supported James Webb Space Telescope's launch. So when they needed some additional support, because they have their own space weather team, when they wanted some additional support on CMEs that were expected to arrive, they looped us in and we got to be a part of their launch information. And so we got to support them with letting them know, okay, we do think the CME is arriving or we don't think the CME is arriving, and giving them those details in real time as we're waiting for the countdown on Christmas Day.
Now, with all the analysis you do in the Moon to Mars Space Analysis, Weather Analysis Office, what are you actually going to look at when it comes to a total solar eclipse?
Yeah, so our team specifically, we don't have anything that we can directly get from a total solar eclipse like immediately, but it kind of all trickles down. So a lot of modelers will go out there, they'll start modeling to see, okay, what's the corona look like during a total solar eclipse, because it's basically our coronagraph, but the best version we could possibly get from here on Earth. And so they'll use the model, or they'll use this to kind of get an idea of models they could make, improve their models, get an idea of, did we have a good prediction of what we thought the corona would look like on this day at this time? But that kind of feeds back into us, because if they can improve their models, then it helps us improve our model, the models that we use, because we're using them from the community. And so once that feeds back into us, we get the better chance to see what improvements we get to CME modeling. So we may have better chances of getting a more realistic arrival time estimate at Earth or at Mars or Jupiter. You know, we'll get those better ideas just based off of what the magnetic field structure looks like on the sun.
Now, can you tell if there is any difference in the way a solar flare or a CME would react, or the way the Earth or, you know, Mars would react while the Moon is transiting the Sun? Would anything, do you think, or is there a model that shows anything would happen differently?
It's a good question. I don't know if we would or would not have that. I know that at least with solar flares, like we'll still be able to see whether or not there's a solar flare just with the Solar Dynamics Observatory, because it won't get the same timing of the eclipse. And same with the GO spacecraft, they're looking at the solar disk, and so we'll be able to see solar flares that way. But with the moon coming across, I don't know that we know if, like, if you were to get a solar flare during the transit of the moon across the sun, if you would see any differences in the impacts here on Earth. It's possible. I know that with the moon crossing, there's been research done about how the changes in the ionosphere occur. And so the ionosphere does play into a little bit of what we do. So with space weather, it's such an umbrella term, right? Like there's so much that it encompasses. And so if you had a solar flare and there was a CME maybe headed towards Earth and we had that arrival here at Earth during the eclipse, that would be really cool. You may get changes in the ionosphere because of the moon crossing in that area. But I don't know if that would increase or decrease the chances of having that radiation trickle down a little further, and maybe you'd get better chances for northern lights, or possibly ham radio operators may have better communications during that time. That's all something of speculation, right. But not sure really.
Were you with the same office in 2017?
No, so the Moon to Mars team actually started in June of 2020. Okay. So it's a brand new team. We did not exist during the 2017 eclipse, but I was present for it. I went to Kentucky and saw it. That was my first total solar eclipse to see, and it was incredible. I mean, you hear the peepers, you know, you hear birds starting to get louder as the moon starts to get covered, and then you see like a 360 degree sunset or sunrise, and it's just incredible. And then, of course, I was very excited to see the sun's corona with my own eyes.
Now, did your office do anything during the annular?
So we didn't as a team, but I did end up going to see the annular. I helped out with the NASA communications group, and so I went with the outreach team with Heliophysics Outreach, and we went to Kerrville, Texas. And so I was with Gina there and was able to teach students a little bit, teach, you know, the young ones who were present right. A little bit about the sun, the moon, how they align, what it means for us on Earth. That was a lot of fun. But I think my favorite part of that was we had NASA mission patches, or just the NASA meatball patches, and we were trying to hand them out, but we had a limited supply, so we would do trivia with those who were waiting in line to go around the NASA booth. And so we told them, what's one fact you could tell us about what's happening today? Or about eclipses, and if you could tell us a fact, we'll give you a NASA patch. And so it was a lot of fun with the youngest ones, because of course they're not really sure what's going on. So I was dressed in a dress that looked like the sun, and then I would tell the parent that was there, I was like, you stand there, I'll stand here, and then we'll tell the kid, you have to be the moon. Where is it going? I'm the sun, you're the earth. And so
that
the kid would walk.
Right. You thought about that before you got there.
Yeah, it was really cute. So
on April 8th, where are you going to be?
I'm going to Texas, as far as I know. So that is my current plan, is that I'm hopefully going to Texas. I don't know exactly where yet, so going to see if I can get in the path of totality. Somewhere, maybe Dallas, possibly further south than Texas, but flying into Houston and going from there, that's my current plan. So.
Well, Karina, we thank you for being with us today, and we look forward to the data that comes from the Moon to Mars Space Weather Analysis Office.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you do any live observations through bigger solar observatories and things like that?
Not unless we have to. So Mauna Loa, we would use Mauna Loa to get alerts of CMEs that were occurring that could be seen in the lower corona before you could see them in the coronagraphs, because that's further out, the higher corona. But we wouldn't normally get to see, that's just based off, if there's no clauds covering. And right now Mauna Loa is down from the volcano eruption from years ago now. They still haven't been able to get access to the facilities. The facilities was unharmed, but they can't get to the facilities because the road is covered in all of the lava flows. And so there's a 2-year plan to get that fixed so that they can get back up to the observatory. But I think they do have plans to try and get, they're going to helicopter people up to the observatory for the eclipse, and they're going to do observations, is their hope.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Would, We're going to the Sunspot Solar Observatory.
Oh, that's where I had my very first internship.
Oh, that's
I had
fun.
It at
yeah.
Sunspot, New Mexico.
When were you there?
2015.
Oh, see, we were there years ago. They're closing SSO for the eclipse so that their scientists will go actually like witness
somewhere.
The
that's yeah. awesome. Yeah, we're kind of doing that on our team. We're like everybody's allowed to work remotely. We can't stop doing analysis because we have to analyze, but we're going remotely to locations like and work remotely those days so that we can actually be in the path if you have the means to get there.
Sure.